and gentlemen, welcome back to the 3 Under Par Podcast. This is a golf podcast where
Little White Ball is live.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, KJ T-Bone. What's up, boys? Doing all right?
Going on? So,
you're really off when you're pointing, by the way.
Over here?
Nope.
Well, so that's the thing. Whenever we're recording this now, it like flips it up. If it should be right. If not, I'm going to look like an idiot. But hey, we're doing it live. So it's all good, though. This is not a pointing podcast. This is a golf podcast.
That's true.
So Little White Ball is life, T-Bone, not
okay.
Okay, I'm just going to get going on here. So, hey, fellas, we had some live golf this weekend. How about that? Let's go.
I think that's like the first sporting event since all this shit hit.
You got to count the UFC.
Yeah.
Dana White and the UFC, they like showed it could be done. I guess that would have been like 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago now. Golf came back. NASCAR was back. That was pretty cool. It felt NASCAR like a regular Sunday. NASCAR's back, baby.
What?
Yeah. What'd you do after the round yesterday?
Played more golf.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you go for the 315 tee time?
I did. Funny story. We literally were pretty much asked to leave.
What?
How this is a country happen? Club where you can pretty much do whatever you want. Well, because Adam wanted to play more, and you're not, like, absolutely not allowed to play six. So he drove around the back and met us on hole three.
Yeah.
And somebody started bitching about it because the course was packed. I mean, dead packed.
Yeah, there were a lot of people out there.
And he came out and be like, guys, you know the rules. He didn't even pay. So I was like, dude, I'm out of here. Like,
nice.
I'm not going to overstay welcome and get yelled at.
Right.
Yeah, you can't lose your honorary membership.
Yeah, I mean, I have a reputation to hold up
there. Isn't this go right in line with your reputation out there then?
Pretty much. Well, usually it's not breaking the rules. It's more of crossing the gray boundaries per se, having a few too many cocktails, you know, playing.
And just some background, this is a country club that we're not sure still if you're a member at or not, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, this golf course, I probably, on an average week, I played at least three times.
Not a member.
And not a member.
Not a member.
And sometimes you don't play with members.
That is also true. I've gotten to know just about everybody there, and the guys in the pro shop and I kind of have a understanding. Do you remember that picture
from
HGA where I'm wearing that Argyle shirt?
Yep.
Like, it's like that's still framed in there, along with who else was on there?
Was it Trey?
One of our buddies was on there. I think Trey might have been on there.
It's like Trey or Preston or somebody like that.
It wasn't Preston. I think it might have been Trey. Okay. But so it's basically like we make the joke all the time, like, he's not a member here. We literally hang his picture up in the clubhouse so you can make sure that he's not allowed.
Right.
The wanted poster.
But it's pretty much the exact opposite.
It's a good setup. I need one of those.
Yeah, when are they going to start asking to pay dues?
It's I'm not going to join, so at least for a while. So it's going to be hard for them to ask me to pay dues.
Hey, it's Club Corp, of course. Club Corp, you know. It's kind of polarizing. Some people love it. Some people really hate it. I think I fall somewhere probably in between. Like Club Corp, I don't think they're as bad as people say they are, but I don't think they're all that a bag of chips either. Like, if you use their stuff properly in the way that's probably designed to, then yeah, it's a pretty good deal. But
yeah,
that's a little side tangent. So awesome. We got some live golf we're going to be talking about. USGA was also in the news. T-Bone is going to be heading up some golf gossip coming out of the match. Before we dive into it all, thank you for tuning in. Last few episodes have been fire. We don't have an interview, whatnot, set up for this one. Hopefully we'll have one for next week so that next week is Memorial Day. We'll probably be traveling, have the weekend off, or just playing a lot of golf. I don't know, either one. I might even get married. Actually, I am. That's the plan. But so I'm getting married on Sunday.
Shit.
How did we not know this?
Well, that was the original date.
That was the original day. Yeah, this whole coronavirus, COVID, whatever you want to call it, it's like throwing a monkey wrench into everything. But we'll talk offline about this.
I just poured one of these.
I'm just making sure Thomas is paying attention. So that's a true story. So hopefully we'll try to get a guest book for this week, so everybody will have the weekend off for next week's episode. But we got a lot to talk about this week. Diving into it hardcore. Before we do, follow us on social media at 3 on a Par Pod. That is the number 3 on a Par Pod. Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe, rate, and review. If you're here on YouTube, what did you think of the match down below? Comment below, and we're going to share our thoughts as well. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, write the review, 5-star rating as well. Give this video a like. You know the drill. And also tell a friend. All right. KJ, you said you didn't really have a chance to watch much of the match yesterday because you continued on and played 20 holes, not the full 27, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Before getting kicked off.
But I did get to see, a few holes. I got to see Wolf's backswing and his mustache. I don't know which one was – I don't know. I actually loved the mustache and the full handlebar.
It was like a Fu Manchu.
That was just beautiful.
Yes.
Backswing's still scary.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really, I didn't get to see much of it. I saw that they were three up and through the first four. I think they won.
Right. Yeah, it went into extra holes. For those who are listening, I think our audience is a little bit more like, if you're listening to us, you like golf, so you probably watched golf yesterday, considering it was the first time in 9 weeks. 9 weeks, guys.
That's brutal.
We've had no live, really, sports in general. Like
since Hideki won the Players.
That's right. Hideki is your 2020 Players champion. What a call. Nice. So
the scoreboard.
Yes. And I thought it was pretty good. T-Bone, what were your thoughts, man, about what went down yesterday?
I thought it was good. I don't know if Seminole, the course looked really cool, but I feel like it was maybe overhyped a little bit. It just kind of looked like a tropical kind of link style course. But I feel like they were talking about Seminole for like nonstop, and I don't know. It seemed like a really cool course, but maybe a little overhyped. I think watching pros carrying their bags was the funniest thing ever. Like watching Dustin Johnson carry his bag was hilarious. Like I will never see that again for the rest of my life.
How about when DJ, I forget what hole it was, but he hit his tee shot and started walking. Yeah,
started walking, forgot his bag.
Forgot his bag. So used to having his caddy. Is his brother still his caddy?
I think so.
Do we know that?
I think so.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, hey, bro, catch up. I'm halfway down the fairway. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, but it was cool. It felt like a college tournament that you're watching on TV, or you know, some kind of junior tournament, watching those guys carry their bags and having no fans or nothing like that. So that was a pretty cool, different experience. I thought the skins thing was kind of weird, that they were going towards different charities. Mm. It's like, are you competing for, like, the charities competing against each other? I thought that was kind of weird.
Right.
But, and then with all the money that was on the line, they end the playoff in a closest to the pin. It was like a 1.5 million. It was like a 120-yard hole.
Fowler like scold the shit out of her or something?
Yeah. And the one thing about it is,
love it.
The ending of the match was just almost so predictable. It was like Ricky kind of chokes. DJ kind of chokes, misses a like 10-footer to win. Rory misses a putt. And then it was like the best player ended up hitting the most clutch shot, I guess. But
I'm watching it right now.
It's kind of script, like how you'd expect like a major championship to turn out.
Yeah.
Like DJ missing a big putt, Rory choking, and Matthew Wolf is, I guess, kind of there, and yeah, Rory wins. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, I think it's why are these things determined by closest to the pin competition? I don't know how I feel about that. Like, you're out there anyway. Just go play another hole.
Was it getting late like day or something?
No, and they played quick, and I think they said they were waiting for the camera crews to get ready because they were moving so quick to the next tee and ready to hit. They had to wait for camera crews.
Right. So, yeah, people were kind of chirping at them online, just like, oh, you're four people, no galleries or whatever, because pace of play is always an issue on the PGA Tour. It's like, you're still getting around in 4.5 hours. Like, why not? You're the best players in the world. Like, you're not chasing down golf balls or anything. It's because of the camera crew. That's to your point. Like, Matthew Wolf had to be like, hey, guys, are y'all ready? Because I'm ready to hit my shot.
Yeah.
What'd y'all think of the players being mic'd up?
That was cool. The little bit that I got to watch, Bill Murray was on a Zoom call or something, so you didn't really get to hear much of it, but fucking Bill Murray, man. He's just sitting there chirping.
Yeah, that was kind of a disaster.
Bill Murray. Yeah, it was like when the call-ins came, it was kind of – you quit watching golf, but I don't know. What did Rory say? He made a putt on, like, the first or second hole, and he was like – it's like
about winning the FedEx Cup.
Basically, it's like, I've won 2 FedEx Cups. You think this for $25 million? You think this putt makes me nervous? And I was kind of like, okay.
Yeah, it's.
I think DJ threw out a social distancing comment about, you know, Wolf had blasted it off the fairway, and he's like, thanks for continuing to keep up the social distancing. That's just a classic COVID golf joke. It's as good as it gets.
Golf jokes.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. Just anything different, and honestly, any live golf right now is cool.
Right.
I'm all for it.
And piggyback off that, I don't want to take a dump all over this because it was for a good cause. First time that golf was back in a long time. There were a lot of things that you can nitpick, though. And I think we can tend to be overcritical sometimes, especially when something like golf, like, we've been fairly critical of the broadcast. Not as bad as the no laying up guys. Like, holy crap, they really harp on it, beat that drum. But they bring up some really valid points. And I don't want to harp on those too long, at least on this one, because it felt like a regular PGA Tour event. Like, you had the camera crews, and they're following the golf ball through the air, and the only thing that was missing was fans, and they got to wear shorts. That really was, like, the only thing that felt different about this. Otherwise, when they're like, oh, sorry, like, this is shut down broadcast. If they wouldn't have told us that, I would have no idea, because you're hearing the announcers' voices over the overlays and whatnot. But bottom line is, I think they did a good job for what they were working with. I wish they would have been a little bit more experimental with it, like miking up the players, but also, I don't know. It can seem forced sometimes, like the chirping back and forth, as opposed to like when we go play, but that's because we go play with each other all the time. Like, I don't know how often these guys are actually playing with each other, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Obviously, true. Ricky and Justin Thomas play a lot together to the point where they're playing left-handed with each other. But
I also don't know how much unfiltered content you're going to get when players are mic'd up for a charity tournament. They're not going to be saying nice putt fuckface when it's for COVID-19 relief.
It's not like they're letting loose those barrels.
Exactly. I did, though. One thing they did do that's been constant throughout our groups is I heard a meow.
Oh, yeah?
On a short putt.
No way.
Yeah, nice. I heard a meow. I think it was Ricky who said it to Wolf. So,
that's great.
There's some good stuff out there like that.
Man, so we played on Sunday. We did like a 4-versus-4 group, and our group was behind KJ's. And the whole time, anytime we see anybody leave a porch shut, we just yell, meow, from the middle.
Like, anybody on the golf course could have, at multiple times yesterday, heard meow.
It's to the point where Mark is like a buzzer, right? Is that
we all four got buzzards.
Oh my gosh.
It has four different cat sounds.
I would love to take full credit for that. Just for the record.
It's funny.
But yeah, you know, it was, again, first time in 9 weeks. They did a good job. Matthew Wolf, we talked a lot about him leading up to it. I don't think he disappointed. I don't think he exceeded expectations either. Like, it seemed like Ricky was fairly carrying that team a little bit. But to your point,
Ricky played the best. I think Ricky played the best.
There was great. Obviously some rust that I think they had. I don't know if it was rust or DJ and Rory can't putt.
Yeah. Well, the thing
DJ
was,
on 18, Rory, they just, I don't know.
I was proud of Ricky because it was like, he's by far the underdog. And even though this is a charity thing, it's something people are going to remember. And it was finally like, wow, he's holding his own. He's like taking it to some of the best players in the world. And then he just hits like a fucking shank, thin shank on the playoff hole. And it's like, dude, just come on.
That's been his MO the whole career, though. Just absolutely scorching it and then can't close on Sunday. Kind of just like
so
in that tournament.
Close.
It would almost be better if he just didn't play as well. It's just adding to his,
So what were their scores? I know it was skins, so they didn't really, like, score him down. Like, do you know, did they show anything about, like, what they roughly scored?
I want to say Ricky was around 7 under.
Whoa.
Which was better than anyone else.
What?
Yeah, Ricky by far probably played the best.
Yeah.
Wow.
I want to say he was anywhere from, like, 5 to 7 under.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
He played well.
I think to your point about Seminole to Scaff, it was good. I think maybe it's one of those courses where, I hate using this line, but TV doesn't do it justice.
I think so. There were so many tee shots, and I just – where they were aiming, it looked like they were just aiming into palm trees. I was like, what is this hole doing? And I couldn't get a good layout of it. Didn't know where things were going, but –
yeah, and people just rave about it. It was the first time it's really been televised. It's a super exclusive club. I was listening to Stuart Hagestad on the Foreplay podcast, and he was saying one thing that makes that course great is because it's on the beach is that the wind plays such a big factor, and it can blow in from any direction on any day. So because of that, the course plays completely different every time you play it, which I think is pretty good because at least where we're at here in Houston – it's either the north or the south. You don't really get that east-west wind. So the courses, you kind of get a feel for it. So also Florida courses they're better in person. They don't really visually look that appealing, in my opinion. I don't know how y'all feel about that. But as opposed to going like to Pebble Beach or Torrey Pines or something like that. Like those are more pristine as opposed to a Florida course, but some of those still really kick ass. Maybe it's a grass issue like a Bermuda versus rye or bent grass. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here.
Yeah, if you looked at some of those kind of fairway side bunker waste areas, it looked like just like a shitty beach in Galveston.
It kind of did. Yeah.
And I was like, huh, okay.
Isn't that the same thing? Beach is it? Never mind.
I don't know. I don't know. Just saying.
All right, T-Bone, what's some golf gossip that you got coming out of the match from this weekend?
From the match.
Is it the match? Is that what we're calling this? Because the match, I feel like, is
Tiger. Oh, that's another issue. That's another issue I had with this. This tournament was called TaylorMade Driving Relief. What the hell does that mean? Is it like TaylorMade is driving relief for COVID, or is it TaylorMade like hitting a drive like driving relief because it's a long drive? Or I had no idea who decided to name the tournament that, but it made no sense to me. TaylorMade driving relief. Is it like a pun on hitting a drive and they're, I don't know that. And every time I would look up when the tournament starts, I'd try and look it up. I'm like, I don't know what this tournament's called. I'd be like TaylorMade golf. And I don't know. That really bothered me.
Yeah, there were a lot of hands in the cookie jar, I think, in order to get this done. TaylorMade being one of them, or State Farm, or, you know, they're like every, and I get it, like there's a lot of dead time, Like it would, they would hit their four shots and then go to the commercial break, and then fairway green, and then another commercial break. Like that's what I'm saying. Like I don't want to harp on it too much because it was still live golf, but like that dead time, that's when I kind of want to hear Ricky and Matthew Wolf
talking to each other, walking down the fairway.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Like, and people who are not, it's almost like, who are you trying to get? Are you trying to get your avid golf fans like us? Or your casual people who just flip it on and happen to see golf. If I had to guess, people who like golf more wanted to tune in for this. I don't know if your casual fan really cared. But then again, I could be wrong. It all depends on who you're trying to go after. But I digress. T-Bone, you were saying?
Cool. Sorry. Yeah, we'll shift to golf gossip. So
golf gossip.
One of the as we already talked about, the call-ins were interesting, especially I was just watching the broadcast and here's the good old Donald J. Trump calling in. I was like, holy shit, okay.
The President of the United States called in.
I was like, that's oh my God,
that's just
how big
of a deal this was, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyways, last spring, Pat Riley, not Pat Riley, Rick Riley? Yeah, Rick Riley. Pat Riley's the basketball coach.
Correct.
So, Rick Riley wrote a book called Commander and Cheat. And the whole book is about how Donald Trump cheats in golf. He has an entire book of stories and everything in it. And one of the stories comes from Mike Tirico, who was holding the phone calls, and he was talking to Trump. And one of the stories in the book is that Tirico had flushed a three. He was playing with Trump somewhere. He, I think it was getting like a little competitive, and he flushes a three wood from like 230, says it's one of the best shots he's ever hit, for sure on the green, walks up and sees it's in the bunker. And he was like, shit. And Trump's caddy had come up to him after the round. He said, yo, Trump threw that ball in the bunker.
That's unreal.
Tirico told this story, and it's, I guess, a chapter in the book. So there's definitely some awkward beef going on. And if you look, and Trump had commented on it, and he said it was like a bad break. Terrible break.
Oh my God, T-Bone, that was awesome.
Nice.
That was so good.
Well done.
What? I didn't know you had that in you, kid.
Yeah.
T-Bone, it was just a bad break for everyone involved. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah. So that was – I felt it was kind of awkward, and when I heard that, I was like, oh, that makes sense. So that was some gossip, but I think they kept it pretty cordial. They're like, let's play some time. Like, then Tirico had talked about how he's a good putter and stuff like that. So,
right.
That was,
I mean, Trump's got to be the best golfer to ever, or the best golfing president, right? Like, we know Bush plays a lot. Obama played a lot. Trump or Bush plays a lot now. I think he stopped after 9/11, if I'm not mistaken, but Trump's got to be the best player, right? To ever sit in the Oval Office?
I don't know. What is he, like a 7 handicap?
I heard he's like a 2.
That could be the best, like a 7 handicap. I'm not going to turn this into a political podcast, but I do think the guy's full of shit. Because I remember
Trump's a fucking 2.
Watching the Golf Channel growing up, he used to have a show called Donald J. Trump's Wonderful World of Golf. And he would take it all of his clubs and shit, and he would be like, I'm a club champion here, I'm a club champion here, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, and I'm seeing his swing, I'm like, there's no fucking way this guy wins club championships. Like, there is no way. And I kind of want to read this Rick Riley book, because apparently he talks about how he does, like, gimme chip-ins. Like, he'll be off the green, it's a gimme, like stuff like that.
I like that. I really like that. We should. So, the President Donald Trump has a USGA handicap index of 2.8.
Dude, no fucking way.
I don't know if I believe that.
You can pick any course And I will carry his sticks to watch him not cheat. I guarantee there's no way he fucking breaks 80. It's one of the most ugly, just ugh. It looks like a reverse Matthew Wolf.
Really does.
God.
Damn.
Yeah.
You do gotta respect though the video of him just not giving a shit at all, driving his cart on the green. With the gimme chipping thing, all that. You gotta kinda respect that.
I think it would be a very interesting round to play around with Trump.
Maybe that's why Rory McIlroy said he's not gonna be play with Donald Trump anymore.
Oh yeah, add that to the golf gossip.
Yeah. And Tirico actually asked President Trump about that.
Yeah, he did.
And Trump did the, if you're well-versed in politics, I'm going to answer your question without really answering your question. That's exactly what he did. But I don't know if it's necessarily a political reason why Rory's not playing. Maybe he just didn't like the blowback that came, because you remember he got some serious blowback for playing with the president. So maybe he figures it's just not worth it, or maybe he thinks he's a cheater and doesn't want to play with him. I don't know.
I think it was more along the lines of he said he was trying to promote himself too much during
But and it was, all due respect to the president, he's very egotistical. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah.
You're fake news.
You guys have way too much time on your hands.
Furlough life, baby. Come on now. Yeah. It's interesting, but I think I said it earlier, like, this shows why this is such a big deal. Yes, the president is a very avid golfer, so he really supports the game, but to have the president come onto a broadcast like this, that's a really big deal. So,
what a squad that called in. So we had Trump,
yes,
Bill Murray, and John Rahm. Is that it?
Yeah.
What a crew. I don't know. In his defense, I think John Rahm should have been playing. I still have no idea how Matthew Wolf snuck his way into this. That's the best thing that could have happened to him.
Again, on Matthew Wolf, I don't think he disappointed. I think he, for lack of a better term, par for the course. Like, he played, he didn't drop the ball, but he didn't exceed expectations either.
I agree. One thing I will give him credit for is the, which I haven't done my little fashion, you know, overview in a while. Those tie-dye shoes were killer. I want those ASAP.
When I saw that, I could not think of anything except for how opposite is this and the shoes.
Seriously.
Like, the opposite message being portrayed there.
You need, if you have that, you need like Hulk Hogan or like America shoes or something. If you're going to do those shoes, you need like a twirled wax, like Grim Accord mustache or something.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, bling. I agree. That didn't match up, but those shoes were killer.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Matthew Wolf. He's going to be big time. I'm telling you. Big time. Okay, is there anything else you want to add? We got 9 minutes left on the clock.
I think we should try to do a mic'd up round if we could. Like, is there a way we could record us playing? I mean, we're going to have to edit the hell out of it because I say some pretty stupid shit on the golf course. Is there any way we could do it?
We probably could. I don't know if mic'd up, maybe, but we could do – like, that's one of my video ideas, I think, is just, like, us doing a match with each other. Maybe start off with 9 holes, or if we wanted to do 18, release 9 at a time, then the full thing. I don't know. Just figure out, like – because some people ask, like, how good actually are you? Or, like, if you wanted to do – like, maybe we could start off with doing an Instagram Live thing to start off. I don't know.
Do that.
People ask you?
How good you are?
Well, they don't really know anything about our golf games except for how wild T-Bone is off the tee because we harp on it so often.
I remember, Kyle, we're in New York during Hurricane Harvey when we went up to the Northern Trust. Yeah. We're staying with my friend Peter. Shout out to Peter, friend of the pod. And Pistol. And he literally like goes point blank to us and he goes, "So who's better?" And me and you look at each other like,
oh, shit.
Like, who wants to say it? Like, I don't know. Depends on the day. That's my answer. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll figure out something. Because I think that'll be fun.
All right. Get all three of us together and then some poor soul that has to go along with the shit show.
Hey, I signed up for the Texas AM. I think I told y'all that.
I sure.
Yeah, Sugar Creek. Because I looked into the Southern AM stuff, and they're still having the Southern AM, but they canceled the qualifiers for it. So, like, Lakeside, that's off the table. So, I qualified for – or I signed up for the Texas AM qualifier instead. Pretty cool. Okay. Sugar Creek.
Where's that one played?
It's going to be in Fredericksburg at Boot Ranch.
It's going to be at Boot Ranch?
Yeah, I've never been there.
Holy shit, I'm going to try to qualify for that. I suck right now, but I'm going to try to qualify. Because that might be the only time I get to play that golf course.
Really?
That place is beautiful. And it's, like, nice. Top-notch.
Well, picking back off, you know, the Southern AM canceled their qualifiers. The USGA announced today that the U.S. Open, they're not going to have qualifiers either. So usually you got your local and sectional qualifying to get you up to the U.S. Open. They're not having those anymore. It's invite and exempt only field pretty much. And the championship is going to be September 17th through the 20th at Wingfoot, officially announced today. Pretty good stuff. I think it's not going to be the same feel because there's so many guys who – mini tour guys who are grinding it, get hot at the right time, qualify for the U.S. Open. As your passionate golf fans, you're missing out on that. Your local fan or person who doesn't really pay attention won't miss that at all, probably won't care. But for us, we'll notice, and it won't be the same. But, hey, bottom line, they're still going to have it though, which I think is a really big deal.
Yeah, I think it's going to make it more like any other, you know, tournament on the PGA Tour because you're going to see all the big names. But that's what I was mentioning earlier before we, you know, started recording. You're not going to see that random nobody out of Nebraska that right. You've never heard of. It's not even a professional golfer leading the U.S. Open on Thursday and then crumbling and shooting 17 over the next day.
There's always that one, and there's always Charlie Hoffman leading the Masters on Thursday.
Oh, man.
Your boy Chuck, right, Scaff?
Love it. The man.
Yeah, so that was really the big news. All in all, good week for golf. Golf is back. Next week, the match 2.0 on Sunday. So we'll probably have try to get a guest this week, release that probably Sunday night so you can enjoy it over your Memorial Day weekend. Fellas, we might have to do like an emergency pod on Tuesday or Wednesday, release it later in the week just to talk about the match. If it is good, what do y'all expect? Do y'all think it should be good, fun, entertaining?
I think it's going to be a lot more entertaining than the Phil Tiger match, to be honest with you. I think they are going to take some shots at each other, and we'll get to see some good golf and some probably surprisingly good golf from the guys that, you know, we've seen in different sports all our lives. So it'd be something – I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a lot better for the viewers than the first match.
Right.
Yeah, I think, and even the one that just happened, there was so much money that I think it got kind of serious and competitive, and the like banter we talked, it wasn't great. And I think there'll be like a lot of kind of joking, but still hilarious shit talking going on. This week.
I think it helps. I mean,
you already saw the shit talking that they did in that little Zoom call that they did, where Phil had his picture of Tiger putting the jacket on him, then Tiger pulls out the jacket, stuff
it's
like
a little
that.
Chilly in here.
Yeah.
I hope they mic him up and we get to hear the actual back and forth between the players.
I think Evan Peyton Manning helps. He might be like one of the most charismatic former professional athletes that is out there. With his progressive commercials, and he's just – I mean, Peyton Manning's the man. Big fan.
He's – you don't expect anything to come out of that guy's mouth, really. And if it's funny, it's always delivered dry. It's 10 times funnier.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if Peyton Manning is talking shit to you, you don't even know unless you're actually, like, listening to the words. He's just like, okay, and just
– I feel like he was kind of like Tim Tebow whenever he could hit. Be like, hey, man, nice hit. Or, God bless you. Look, it's – or him, Andrew Luck, was also in that category, I feel like.
Yeah.
So, all right, boys, we're at the two-minute mark here before we get out of here. Anything else that y'all like to add before we leave?
Good.
Parting thoughts with the audience. Hope everybody has a great week. Hopefully you get a few rounds of golf in. Hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend as well. Long weekend. I think some people are really looking forward to this. It was announced today, at least in the state of Texas, that Governor Abbott, he said that professional sports can happen after May 31st. So that is a great sign for the PGA Tour, considering they wanted to go to Texas at Colonial for their first tournament back. Even though there will be no fans, the first tournament back is still going to be at Colonial. It's just great to see that the state is on board with that as we continue to open up. And even Governor Cuomo up in New York, he said that the state is going to help bring professional sports back. I think that's part of the reason why the USGA came out with that announcement today, because Wingfoot is in the state of New York. So overall, I think we're trending in the right direction. Keep going up. Keep everybody stay safe out there, most importantly, though. But I think we are trending to hopefully get back to a sense of normalcy. And I'm not going to lie, I took a little nap on Sunday watching the match. That's pretty normal. Fall asleep on Sunday watching golf. Let's go. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate you. Follow us on social media at 300ParPod. That is the number 300ParPod. Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe, rate, and review. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Write a review on what you like about the show. If you're watching here on YouTube, thank you for sticking with us. Comment below on what you thought of the match. Or what do you expect on the match on Sunday? Tiger, Phil, Peyton, Tom. Will Tom continue to dominate Peyton? Will Peyton chirp at him too much, get in his head? I don't know. Let me know what you think. Let us know what you think. And you give this video a like. Tell a friend about the show, most importantly, though. We got some big things hopefully coming down the pipeline here soon. Can't do it. We can't thank you enough, the listenership out there. T-Bone, thank you. KJ, you're the man. We'll see y'all soon. And remember,
little white ball's life.